Good morning, everyone. The first of the nine cases we're going to hear argument in today is Hassani v. Ashcroft, 03-1327. Mr. Help.
Good morning, and may it please the court. This matter comes before the court by way of a petition for review, appealing the AWO decision of the BIA, which summary affirmed the order of the immigration judge, Judge Renata Smith, who entered an order of removal against the petitioners on December 13, 01. The BIA's AWO decision was on January 8, 2003. Subsequent to that, the petitioners, then respondents, filed a motion for consideration. That motion for reconsideration was denied by the BIA in May of 03. Subsequent to that, while this petition was pending, the petitioners also filed a motion to reopen, and that was denied in April 14th of 04, as a bit of a background to the court. The petitioners entered the United States in 1998. They are natives and citizens of Albania. They filed for asylum, and the basis of the asylum case was based on the principle, the father responded petitioner's claim that he had a well-founded fear of persecution based on his membership in the Democratic Party in Albania. The record, including our brief, outlines the types of activities that the petitioner was involved with. The petitioner was beaten on several occasions. I think the record is clear that he has the definitions of at least the minimum, a well-founded fear of persecution. At the trial, at the asylum hearing, the government introduced a report which was authored by an Artan Sesi. The name is spelled differently in the transcripts, but the expert, the quote-unquote expert, offered a computer printout which was unverified, stating, or concluding rather, that basically all the documents submitted by the respondent were forgeries. However, he supported that conclusion by citing only two examples. The other documentation submitted by the respondent, by the petitioner, was not discussed in the report.
They have to prove every document in the case is a forgery, or is that just sufficient to point out one or two?
Well, I wouldn't say that every document would have to be discussed. However, in the petitioner's case, if he were to call an expert witness, that expert witness would, in the cases that I've been involved with, the immigration judge would require a curriculum vitae, would require that the report be verified, and would require detailed explanations as to the veracity of any of the documents that were submitted, and basically the conclusions would have to be supported with specific examples. That wasn't the case here. Nevertheless, the judge found that my client had lied, or that the documents were forgeries, or both, and denied the claim. So the issue here we would submit is whether the immigration judge had a basis to make that denial.
Isn't it true that none of this information was contained in the official records?
You mean the information concerning the report
that the investigator made as a result of the investigation?
Well, the report contained was a computer printout, right, unverified, and the report challenged two of the documents, I believe. The government talked
said
about
they were
three.
Forged.
Yes.
And part of his investigation revealed that these alleged forgeries were not reflected in the official records.
That's correct. So the position here is that the immigration judge should have taken the position as a judge would do if the respondent were to submit evidence. They would require certain things of this witness. One, that the witness would be qualified to provide this type of opinion, and two, that the opinion provided would be a substantial articulated opinion, not a computer printout where the odds are that, you know, the government will routinely offer something which would be weighed against the respondent. That would be
what you're saying, the government always does.
Well, in an adverse,
they routinely do that?
No, but in an adverse setting, Your Honor, it would be understandable that the government would rebut an attempt to refute the asylum applicant's case. But what would be unusual is if an immigration judge were to rely on a computer printout and then deny and make an adverse credibility finding against the petitioner based on a computer printout with no curriculum vitae and an explanation by our clients that state that this is a biased report. This is a computer printout made by an ex-communist, a socialist, an ex-police officer, and I think that should be weighed against the overall finding of the immigration judge, who really didn't have any other basis other than to find that this report was credible, and based on this report, the petitioner was incredible. And I think that's certainly not the way things should be handled in the immigration courts, and this court has clearly stated so. With regard to the IJ's decision, again, the immigration judge failed to provide specific cogent reasons which bear a legitimate nexus to the adverse credibility finding that was made against the petitioners. Thank you.
Ms. Drucker?
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court. I'm Allison Drucker, representing the United States. Just preliminarily, the only board order that's before this court is the one that's dated January 8, 2003. The court has already entered an order to that effect as of July 19, 2004. And the other denials that opposing counsel mentioned, there were no timely petitions for review taken from those. So those will not be before this court, and there is no need to hold this case in abeyance pending any further developments. Also, the order that is before the court, I presume that only one of three issues is of interest to you, and that would be the asylum and withholding. There were two other issues that were mentioned in the briefs. One has to do with streamlining. That has now been foreclosed by Georges. And there was also an issue about voluntary departure. The court lacks jurisdiction over that. And petitioner in any case was ineligible for it. That's covered in our brief.
Before getting the specifics of this case, can you just tell me what's going on here? When I joined this court 10 years ago, I could go through a year with hardly any of these asylum cases. Today, we have five of the nine cases that are asylum cases, four from Albania. In this case, a Democratic Party person claiming persecution from the socialists. Later case this morning, the other way around. What's happening with these?
Well, there's just a tremendous number of immigration cases coming through the pipeline, Your Honor. The office that I represent, the Office of Immigration Litigation, our caseload is just going through the ceiling, and we're getting very heavy cases in from the Board of Immigration Appeals. More people are filing cases there. A higher percentage of those cases are coming in to the courts of appeals, and just everything is burgeoning.
Is this closer supervision by the Department of Immigration, or is it
I'm not sure that I can say that, Your Honor.
Isn't it caused by the terrorism problem, that they're speeding up and checking up on all these people?
Well, I certainly hope that that's the case, but, I mean, most of the cases that I'm dealing with, like, well, you mentioned, asylum cases, I mean, the people are not necessarily being accused of terrorism.
No, but they want to know what they're doing here, if their visas have expired.
They started to look more closely.
They're looking more closely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, but in the second case that we have today, there's the petitioner is appealing a denial of asylum. But in that case, his brother and his mother are here legally, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just know what we're dealing with here in this system. That just seems Judge Bauer and Judge Goff have been here longer than I have, but
it's hard to believe.
An influx of cases like we're having now.
Well, my understanding is that the other courts of appeals are having the same experience. The Ninth Circuit in particular is suffering horribly. And I know there's a lot of discussion at different levels of government in the courts, the legislature.
It's hard to believe a bunch of circuit court judges are suffering horribly, but I mean, it's... I'm glad it's in the Ninth Circuit, not in the Seventh. Really.
Well, I just mean, and their staff, from trying to keep up with this enormous caseload. It is, the numbers are very large, and the percentage increase is very large.
You're trying to give us more experience, is that right?
I'm sorry, sir.
You're trying to give us more experience, is that right?
Well, I don't know that we're trying to, but I'm sure you're getting it whether anyone's trying or not.
Well, but these cases... These cases from Albania that we have today, I mean, I'm sure there's some people get asylum and the immigration judge just believes their story and they get asylum.
Well, of course, each person gets their own hearing and that's, decided on the merits. This is an unusual case insofar as the documentation was challenged as forgery. Now, the person who decided that these documents were forged and caught this is a professional investigator hired by the as a Foreign Service national. He's someone who's used routinely by the embassy for
this
purpose.
This guy's got some axe to grind. He's an old Socialist Party guy. So you can't believe his report.
Well, he hasn't put any evidence in the record to support that sort of an allegation. And if you think about it, Your Honor, I mean, if you're hiring someone to be an investigator, you want someone who's experienced, knows the language, knows the situation. The communists and then the socialists thereafter parties have been in control in Albania for a long time, so probably along those lines. That doesn't necessarily mean that this person is biased in any generic way. You would think if that were the case that the embassy would be aware of that and would not, retain him. And there's no reason to think that he's biased against this particular individual. There's nothing in the record that says that this person knew this individual beforehand or anything like that. So this is totally speculation. And the case has to be decided on the record, and the standard is substantial evidence. There's certainly evidence here that supports the government, and I can't say there's even substantial evidence to support the other side, but even if there were evidence in both directions, under the substantial evidence standard, the government would prevail. There's nothing peculiar about the fact that this report was made on a computer printout insofar as somebody was transmitting a message from abroad. There's nothing improper about the DHS using Foreign Service nationals. There's, in fact, a memorandum called the Cooper Memorandum, which discusses that. It's not in the record. The only objection that the petitioner made at the time was that this material was hearsay, and the immigration judge correctly pointed out that in a removal or deportation hearing, hearsay is admissible. so I don't think he has much to stand on. Another issue here, potentially, is the question of whether the falsity of the documents is probative. Now, the immigration judge relied on a BIA case, In Re O.D., which basically says if an alien submits documents and they turn out to be false, that is enough to discredit his testimony in its entirety. However, in this circuit, there was a case not too long ago called Korski that made, I'd say this was a limited exception.
It has to be knowingly submitted as a false document.
Well, right. I mean, actually, I think what it says is that there needs to be a reason to believe that the petitioner, the alien, knew or suspected. Now, the situation in Korski was a little different because the person seeking asylum said, "I got these documents from my mother." There was no, I mean, it was possible, it was at least theoretically possible, okay, the documents were fraudulent, but the asylum applicant didn't know that they were fraudulent. In this case, in front of us, there is no middle ground. The alien cannot make the same claim. Why? Because he specifically testified that he himself got the documents from the official government sources, and he brought them with him to the United States. This is in pages 118 and 19 of the transcript. So there's no middle ground here. If the documents are fraudulent, I think it's safe to, that there is a reason to believe that he must have known. He knew or suspected. There was not a third person intruding here in the middle. And I think that's very significant, and so that this case can be distinguished from Korski, and should be. If there are no further questions, Your Honor.
Thank you.
With regard to issues 2 and 3, aside from the fact that we do understand Georgie's hold for the proposition that AWO decisions in some circumstances or most circumstances are acceptable, we would decline to agree that in all circumstances an AWO decision would be proper. And with regard to issue number 3, we will rest with what we had stated in our brief. With regard to the credibility issue, I do agree with the government that this is an unusual case, as counsel has stated. However, the Korski decision involves a case that presumes a forgery. This is not a case that presumes a forgery. This is a case that the petitioner attempts to rebut the conclusion in a report, and a report where the judge did not make what we feel is a substantial, specific, and cogent analysis of her conclusion.
Didn't she write a 10-page decision?
She did write.
Dealt with the credibility issue pretty clearly, didn't she?
She did, Your Honor, but it didn't go into the issues that we are addressing. One, that the report, the computer printout, or report as the judge calls it, is really unsubstantiated. It's not supported by any other acceptable means that an expert witness would provide to any forum, in any administrative or judicial forum, who the author is, what they've done, what their background is, what qualifications do they have, and most importantly, the opportunity to rebut all of those. This was never done. This was not allowed. If this had been the case, then maybe the respondent could have argued that this report should be excluded, but that was never the case. The judge simply accepted this as gospel and made a conclusion based on that report. Based on that, we would feel that this is a dangerous a pattern that we see, and we would ask the court to reverse the decision and vacate the judgment of removal against my client. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the case under advisement. The second case today is